good. All right, so I've been in Spain for the past I was in Spain for 5 weeks, and then I spent a week in Rome, and that was just for fun. But we took a class over there, and the class was called Engaging in Contemporary Culture. And basically what that class was about is, first of all, we tried to understand the world that we're living in and the world that our culture is living in. And then from that, we need to try and understand how we can reach these people. And so we looked at this and how the things that the church could do and how it could reshape itself to try and find different ways to reach these people. And something that is very very relevant, and what we can see in the church is that a lot of Christians want to, or they call themselves Christians, and they want to be a part of that group, and they want to call themselves Christians without being committed to that group. And because of that, it's leading so many people to stray away from the church and to not even want to be a part of the church. They hear the name church, and it completely turns them off because of the things that they see with us Christians. And so something that I was challenged with from that is that so many times we hear that we need to have faith and put our faith in God. And you know, what our culture is telling us is, when you're going to college, what are you going to do? What are you going to major in when you're trying to graduate? And we have all these other things that's going on. And if you mess up in college, it's okay because you're still young. But eventually, you need to settle down, start a family, and just get into your mode and into your pace and into your groove, whatever that may be. And then after that, you know, you retire. And then what happens when you retire? You end up dying eventually. So then you live this pointless life, basically, and meaningless life for what? Because it's what your society tells you? So instead of this, what I've been challenged with is that Christianity isn't supposed to make sense to the culture that we're living in. It's not supposed to make sense to anyone, even when you're old and retired. Abraham, who was I don't even know how old he was, when God told him, as an old man, to completely pick up his life and move his family to a land that he didn't know. And because he had faith, he did that, regardless of what he knew. He didn't know what he was doing or where he was going, but he knew that God had a plan for him. So as Christians, that's something that we need to realize, is that, you know, we don't exactly what our calling is and what God has for us isn't going to make sense to those around us, and it shouldn't make sense, I don't think. And you know, but to Jesus and to listen to his small voice, that's what should make sense to us. So that's my challenge to you guys, is to, you know, not become complacent in where you're at, and not become, you know, as society tells you what you are, but to become what Jesus tells you, and to become who he wants you, and to become an image of him.
Thank you, Tyler. Well, I remember this position, one that I fought for years and said I would never be a preacher. Ha! I'm nervous. No. I've just been enthused about being here this morning, and I tell you, people, accuse me if you want to that I'm a crybaby. Accuse me if you want to that I just can't take the pressure. But I loved what I felt this morning here at church. Not only did I love what I felt, I loved what I sensed. And I love what I sense in you people. You know, there is each one of us, if we were allowed to tell the story of our life, could give. This thing's got an echo in it. I'm not sure. It feels like I'm in a building somewhere, which I guess I am. If each one of us could do it, we could tell a story about what has happened in our lives to bring us to where we are today. And many of you do know who I am. Many of you know what my background is. Many of you know that in the church's eyes, I screwed up royally. I didn't quite fit the mold of a preacher's kid. I didn't quite fit the mold of, Paul maybe should be thinking about doing ministry of some kind. And I've told you before that I can almost take you to the day and the hour and the time that I said I'm sick and tired of this life. And I'm going to do what I feel like doing, and it doesn't matter what you think. Ha! Wow. If only. You ever heard that before? If only I could take that back. Ha! If only I could change that decision that day to go a different way. But as I sat here this morning, realizing how Jesus has touched my life in spite of my decision to go my own way, as I held my little grandbaby in my arms, how fortunate I am to be able to do that. Wow. And I realize, standing here this morning in front of you people, that some of you don't have that story to tell yet. Some of you are still writing the story of your life. And some of you are going to make that same decision I made, to do my own thing. And that's scary to me. As I was preparing to share with you all what I felt God wanted to say through me, I realized how insignificant I am. But how significant I am, really. See, that's kind of a paradox, isn't it? And I was, for some reason, drawn to John 4, the chapter with the woman who came to the well. And I want to read you this story. John 4, starting at verse 1. The Pharisee heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to the town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews don't associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than Father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of living water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, bear with me here, it's taking a little while to read this, but this is important. He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Let's pray. Jesus, we just come to you right now. We're just so humbled by this passage, knowing that you have chosen us, and you can and you will, and you call us all to follow and to drink the water. Guide us and direct us in this time we spend together. In Jesus' name, amen. Does this help my appearance? All right, we come to this scripture here. You say, what in the world does this have to do with us? What in the world does this passage have to do with me? Well, I'm here to tell you, whether we're aware of it or not, God has a calling on each one of us. And did you know that God created us with a vacuum inside of us, young people, that will never be filled unless it's filled with Jesus? And that's why you have so many times you do things to try to fill that void. Some of us drink. Some of us smoke. Some of us do drugs. Ooh. That doesn't surprise me. Does that surprise you? Some of us spend our time watching TV all day. Some of us spend our time gambling. Some of us spend our time doing nothing. What's my point here? My point is that Jesus calls us, and he places a special vacuum inside of every one of us that says it needs to be filled. And so often we spend our whole life wandering from one thing to the next, trying to fill that void. Notice, Jesus came to the well. He was tired, physically tired. He did what all of us would have done, asked that lady, "Could I have a drink?" You know, Have you ever been just plain worn out? The older I get, the lazier, or no, excuse me, I didn't mean to say that. The more tired I am. Mentally, some of us have mental jobs that require our mental capacity. It's tough. Come home, we're bushed. Jesus asked for a drink of water. Notice in verse 9, the Samaritan woman simply did not understand. You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? What is your belief? See, she had a belief there in that context. She believed that the Samaritans were bad blood. My question to you is, what is your belief? Lynn talked last week about our belief about the Holy Spirit. My thing is, what is your belief about life itself? Do you believe that you can succeed? Or do you believe that, no matter what I do, I'm going to fail? No matter what I say, I'm going to say the wrong thing. No matter what I... And the list goes on and on and on and on. My theory, my thought, is how I respond to life's problems depends on how I view who I am. This woman had an opinion of herself. She was surprised that somebody would ask her for a drink of water because she was a Samaritan. She recognized Jesus as a Jew only. She knew their facts. She knew that Jacob had built this well. She knew that it was a Jew, Jacob. She knew that others had used this well. And then she said, "You don't have anything to draw with, Jesus." Or, yeah, she says, "You don't have anything to draw with. How are we going to get water out of here?" How easy is it for us to excuse how we live because of the, we say, physical limitations? Then Jesus comes along in verse 13 and says, "Everyone who drinks this water will thirst again." Why do you think it's possible to fill a sports stadium? And I'm not knocking sports here. Don't be emailing me or nothing saying I'm talking bad about sports now. But why do you think it's so easy to fill a sports arena? That's a good answer. It's exciting and it's entertaining, of course. You say, "Where in the world's he going with this?" My thing is, as people of the world, we're never satisfied. I remember, as a kid, for some reason, I was drawn to cigarettes. Why? Sorry, I don't mean to get too loud. But my mom said she just didn't realize I had a problem with that. But I never inhaled them. I always puffed them, but I never inhaled them. Until I got married, I remember the day driving over Delaware Memorial Bridge, and I had bought a pack of cigarettes. You say, what in the world are you talking about that in church for? Because this is reality, people. And I remember the first puff I took, and I drew it back in my lungs. Oh, that felt so good. Got a nice little buzz off of it. I was hooked. I also remember pouring a drink. Orange juice now. But with it, I poured a little bit of, what was that stuff called? It was like a Tom Collins, wasn't it? Had a little bit of something special in there. I remember doing that. You say, where are you going with this? My point to you is this, people. We're never satisfied unless we fill that spot with Jesus. Now, you say, why didn't you fill it with Jesus? Why can't I fill it with Jesus? What's holding me back? I like the verse in 14. What's that first word there? But. That word changes everything. Whoever drinks the water Jesus gives, it becomes a spring of living water. The question isn't asked by me, by you. Why does it take so long for some of us to understand that point? Comes back to, I believe, my belief in who I am as a person. You know, all my life, I was told, do this, do that, do this, do that, do this, do that. And I'm not knocking that, okay? I'm not knocking that. Verse 16 and through 19, Jesus calls us to right living. And I couldn't begin. You know what happens when someone tells you something is wrong with you. I had a man tell me one time, this has been years ago, but I was standing in church, mind you, and he cornered me in the end of the vestibule there, and he said, Paul, you're going to hell, and you're going to hell fast, because you can't even manage your own woman. So, if I tell you what's wrong with you, duh, I'm not telling you anything new. You know. You know what your attitudes about life are. You know what you've been told. And I venture to say, every one of us has an opinion of what's right and what's wrong. The sad part is, people, we knowingly and willingly participate in the wrong. I cannot tell you, I can stand up here and tell you, well, it's because of Willis that I am like I am. Or it's because of Jesse Yoder, my father, that I am the way I am. They had their influences on me. But ultimately, I chose the path that I took because of what I thought of Paul Yoder. Being the third child and the second son didn't help it either. Did you know that in our house, if there was anything ever done wrong, Paul was the cause of it? Did you know that? I never could figure that one out. Whenever there was something went wrong in the house, Paul did it. Paul did it. My mom and dad are not here to defend themselves, but my dad did tell me years later that he really felt bad that I did get the shaft more than I should have. But ultimately, Paul chose his path. Is this water for me? Because I am awfully thirsty. And I've told you my story. I'm not going to go through that. But in 1990, God definitely met Paul Yoder. And you know, I thought, for some reason, I had the impression that when God would come into my heart, he would just snap. I would, you know, things would just like that. It's all better. Here I go. I'm a happy man now. But it would it surprise you to tell if I told you I never figured it out then, and I'm still figuring it out. How in the world does a person overcome feeling like they're worthless? How does a person overcome feeling like they can't make it? How do you overcome that? How do you go beyond? Woo! You change your mindset that says you're worthless, you're no good, that you're someone special. God made you special. I can't do that for you. I can't take you off to the side, each one of you, and say, you're special. God loves you. God cares about you. The only way that's going to happen is if you in your mind realize God is, and I've said this in the Sunday school class before, that you have to believe that God would come and die on the cross just for you. Just for me. Wow. Do you believe that? We say we do, but I got to tell you, it's not that easy. And I'm not trying to tell you that it's impossible, because it is possible. I'll be 58 years old this year. Can you believe it? Thanks for agreeing with me, whoever that was. I certainly hope and pray that you don't have to wait until you're 58 to realize your position in Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you something. Something that has just taken me from wanting to know what in the world Jesus would want to give me or want to drink a water from me for, to just feeling like I'm part of the family. And that is because I never felt like, no, I'll take this, change this around. This thing getting in my way. I never felt like I could do it right. Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel like you just couldn't quite do it right? One of the things that has just changed my whole thought process, and it can happen for you just as simple as it can for me. But in all the do's and don'ts of life, and every one of us know what they are, I don't have to tell you what you should or should not do. That goes for young people. I don't have to tell you what you should or should not do. But one of the things that has just taken me beyond this is a simple, simple truth. You know, I know, as a human being, I cannot live life like I ought. And I'm not going to get into any theology here, so bear with me. But let me tell you something. Jesus forgave the sins of my past. Jesus forgives the sins of my today. And guess what? Jesus forgives my sins that I will commit. And believe me, I'm human and I will commit them. But in my mind, that could never happen. Well, why, you say? Because there's a verse in the Bible that says we need to be perfect. The Bible talks about it. So how do you appear perfect before Jesus? The death on the cross. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. It's so simple. I say that. That's how I appear perfect before Jesus Christ. Are you following me? Am I making any sense? You say, well, that's not very profound. Jesus is the answer. I knew that. I knew that back when I married my wife. I said, what's that got to do with it? I knew that when I decided to get in my car and leave my wife and go to another part of the country thinking I would never, ever come back. And I had a little baby at home. How could you, Paul? Jesus is the answer. Did you hear me? Jesus is the answer. a verse in the Bible, and I didn't look it up, but it says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good." Worship team, you can come up at this time. In conclusion, guys, we need to ask for the drink. And not necessarily knowing all the facts. Not necessarily knowing all the facts gives us the victory. Or gives us what we're longing for. And then realizing that Jesus, you know, in our walk, being disappointed, thinking Jesus does not really care. But all the while, wanting a relationship with Jesus, even in the midst of making decisions in our lives that take us away from Jesus. I don't think there's anyone here that would say, "I don't want you, Jesus." You may say that. Then realizing that I need to change my belief system. And then follow that with realizing that only by God's grace can I come before Him and learn and know how to live life. We're going to sing a song. I've asked the worship team to help me with it. This song just ran through my mind all week long. It's an old song talking about the woman at the well. I was that person. You were that person. And I'm not going to put pressure on you about making a commitment, because I realize that if you're here and you want to make a commitment, it doesn't take me to do that. But I also want to let you know, if you are at a crossroads in life where you feel like there's nowhere else to turn, and you haven't tried Jesus, maybe it's time to try Him. And I those of you who agreed to say prayer or do the prayer for these people we had on our list, you're certainly welcome to come up and do that at that particular time too. But if you feel like God is speaking to you, don't be afraid to come up here and kneel down and ask God to just give you a new life. It may not be like you think it ought to be. It may take more time than you think it ought to take. Or He may just change your whole outlook on life immediately. So, why don't we stand? Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much for directing us and leading us. Lord, Your message is clear for us today, and we just say thank You. Help us not to spurn the message of Jesus in our own lives. Forgive us for the attitudes of life we've had. We give ourselves to You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking to my well that never shall rise. Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. There are millions in this world who are seeking a pleasure. This wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ my Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. Lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. So my brother, if the things this world gives you, these hungers that won't pass away, my blessed Lord will come and save you. If you kneel to him and humbly my cup, Lord, lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole.
You are dismissed.